depending on conditions in occupied North America, the Angra Indian may or may not employ harsh language.
Hey yo, what's up y'all? This is DJ Spooky, that Subliminal Kid, giving y'all a wild style shout out. You're rolling with a podcast that's licensed under the Creative Commons license. So I just want to say, check it, download it, remix it, transform it. This is all about the wild style remix. So once again, Creative Commons, y'all, DJ Spooky, wild styles in your area, subliminal minded.
From north to south,
from east to west,
the folks who want the best, listen to
Internet Radio for smarter the original.
You are listening to a First Nations Intelligence Bulletin report transmitted from Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Radio Intelligent Indigena.
Radio Intelligent Indigena.
Radio Intelligent Indigena.
Keeping the Fourth World informed one listener at a time, this is Internet Radio for Intelligent Aboriginals.
Radio Intelligent Indigena.
New service.
This is radio for the people who made the first, second and third worlds possible. Radio Intelligent Indigena. Indigenous talk radio for real human beings. Powered to all the Aboriginal people and their struggles across the fourth world.
For more information, please visit angryindian.blogspot.com.
Radio Intelligent Indigena.
Now.
This is Radio Intelligent
New service.
So I'll be talking into your heart, into your head, in just a few moments. All I want you to do is just lend me your ear for the time that we will be together.
Natives diagnosed with HIV and AIDS has grown more rapidly than any other ethnic group, having increased nearly 800% from 1990 to 1999.
Since 1980, approximately 3,084 American Indians and Alaskan Natives were diagnosed with AIDS.
67% of men.
And 23% of women
were diagnosed with AIDS in 2004.
From the beginning of the epidemic through 2004, 1,578 American Indians and Alaska Natives with AIDS have died.
In 2004, an estimated 206 Natives were newly diagnosed with HIV.
In recent years, AIDS rates have steadily increased, becoming the ninth leading killer of Native people between the ages of 15 and 44.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
Greetings, salutan, transmitting to the fourth world from an occupied North America. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena, intelligent Aboriginal radio for the indigenous masses. Salutan and peace to the gods and the earth of the First Nations. I'm your host, the Angry Indian. I serve as editor of the Intelligente Indigena news service at angryindian.blogspot.com. You have tuned in to indigenous news, thought, and analysis on issues that matter to the First Nations and other communities across the world living under imperial, colonial, and neoliberal control. So again, welcome back, my brothers and sisters of the fourth world, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the ever-present eavesdropping spooks concerned about what might be said here on how their masters manipulate, eviscerate, and ignore the original peoples and nations of this planet. You are listening to Roger Intelligente Indigena, internet radio for smart Aboriginals and all others who do a social and human justice. What can I say, brothers and sisters? I'm back here. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here, but I really would rather talk about another subject right now. I feel that there's not enough discussion about this. It annoys me that there's not a lot of discussion about this, being that so many of our people are subject to this issue. HIV and AIDS We're going to talk about that too, this dispute about whether or not HIV has anything to do with AIDS, whether or not HIV is real. There's been dispute about that for years. We're going to get into, I'm going to try to, you know, do this within a reasonable amount of time, but that there isn't as much discussion about this issue as there should be. Why that is, I really have no idea. I would like to know myself what it is. I mean, it's a terrible subject. You know, I like I said, I really don't even want to discuss this. You know, I've had friends that have dealt with that, and you know, it's a hell of a thing to sit on the bedside of someone, and there's not a damn thing you can do, and you know, you're watching them, you know, go through this. And you know, here you walk out of the hospital, and then you know, you get in, you put your headphones on, you turn on the radio, or you know, you're walking by someone who in their cubicle, if you have one of those types of jobs, and you know, they got their radio onto one of these you know, propaganda mills that are all over American media, and you know, you have to hear this religious claptrap about how, you know, the only people who are dealing with this are those who deserve it. You know, someone like Michael Savage, you know, the fool who, you know, made some ridiculous, I mean, he makes ridiculous comments anyway. You know, his Goebbels Award, and then he claims to be a Jew. You know, I don't know what it is. It's this pure white male American angst, but, He made, you know, comment to a gay man, you know, self-identified gay man, who called. I assume he was a European, and he told the man to get AIDS and die. And then he talks about the right and the wrong, and you know, how the left wing is out to get him, and any other decent American, you know, we want the terrorists to win, you know, all kinds of nonsense, you know, we want tons of people to flood the country. This, you know, Savage is dangerous. Savage is very dangerous. He twists things. He'll take everything I just said and completely twist it around. You know, any of any of the right-wing rappers, you know, those two guys from the right perspective, they're in Queens and Staten Island, and they're talking crap about the Boas and you know, Rhodesia, you know, and just to show you how this sort of nonsense goes on, and why when you hear me use the term Tom, why I use the word Tom, there's a reason why I use the word Tom, because an Uncle Tom, for those of you who have read Harry Beecher Stowe's Uncle Tom's Cabin, now, depending on how you want to look at the book, you can make the argument that Tom was a good man, and this, that, and the other, and I'm not disputing that. He was a divine original man, like all of us are. But what it came down to was that he was willing to bend over backwards to please blacks. He did it to save the ass of other people. Took whippings and, you know, all of that sort of thing. But the bottom line was the subservience. See, so white people, you know, and Beecher wrote it that way, and that's the, you know, that's been the pattern ever since. That they can deal with the issue of race relations, provided that the Indian, that the African, that the Asian, you know, and when I say Indian, I'm including Latinos, that we must be willing to take an ass kicking. We must be willing to be spit on, to be dehumanized, to be starved, to be beaten, to be assaulted, to be just completely debased at will. And then when they come to their own moral crisis on, you know, some sort of emotional, you know, trip to Damascus, where they now realize that they've done wrong. But it's not that they have done wrong. It was the times that were wrong. And that they have made the decision to now be magnanimous and to, you know, extend their liberty and respect and love. Underline love. You know, because this is, you know, that word has been, you know, very important to the repackaging of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. See, there's no talk about black pride. Now, he didn't say African pride. He didn't go that far. But he did say he was proud to be black and that black people should be proud to be black. He was a reformer and he was trying to bring the African into the mainstream. But the one thing that can be said for him, and I will say now, you know, I have criticized him in the past, and I know people are taking what I've said completely out of context, because, you know, white folks are very, very, very defensive of Dr. King because they feel that Dr. King belongs to them. He said he was an American only because he was born here. But he never at any time denied that he was black. And see, you never hear that speech. And you never hear about healthcare with Dr. King. You never hear about Vietnam, almost never, unless it's convenient, about Dr. King. See, you know, we only get the, you know, the driblets that they approve of, that have come through the filter of their cheesecloth. You know, it always comes down like, you know, and I'm not looking to build any further on this, but what I'm saying is we have a paradigm here that needs to be dealt with, and part of this paradigm is dealing with what is HIV, what is AIDS, what are the alternate theories on this. And the best way I can do this, there's going to be sound, and I'm going to play Dr. Boyd Graves, man who has been working on this for quite some time, and I'm convinced that this brother has found absolute proof that I mean, hey man, you know, I don't believe that this is an accident. I never believed that this was an accident of nature, and I'll give you my reasons on, you know, why. But right now I want to break down, you know, this, it's just amazing what he comes out with. And I want everybody to listen up. So, you know, we're going to do the usual here. And when we come back, Dr. Boyd Graves, this is Radio Intelligente Indígena.
This is a mortal technique. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggested George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war in which tens of thousands of civilians were killed. We are told to look upon these deaths as an exaggeration or an acceptable loss in the war on terror. But this administration has lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, and produced phony news reports. People have been imprisoned without charges and tortured, and illegal weapons used. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor a foreign investigation. Peace.
And, I was sitting outside the classroom waiting to go in, and I saw an airplane hit the tower of a TV. You know, TV was obviously on, and I used to fly myself, and I said, there's one
terrible president. The only video we've been told exists of the plane flying into the first tower spent the entire day in the videographer's camera at ground zero. So what video did Bush see?
Transmitting from within the occupied aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea, this is Radio Intelligente Indígena.
I am listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Miigwech.
Este es aborigen inteligente de radio.
Bangui, New Jersey is becoming the first
state to address the issue of the synthetic origin of HIV and AIDS. Indeed, the documentation is overwhelming. And I'm just going to speak for a few moments and allow those of you to have questions to then present them. But what we are saying here by this press conference today is that indeed, if there was a federal virus development program that preceded HIV and AIDS, that program needs to be reviewed. Am I right or wrong? Am I right or wrong?
Yeah,
if there was a federal virus development program that preceded the greatest onslaught of death in the history of the world, then why don't we review that program? Well, you know why? First, we have to recognize that there was indeed a federal virus program, and we can do that, and we can do that right now. We are doing it here in New Jersey. The program is right here in front of this table, the virus program in the United States of America. This is the program booklet from 1978, the last of the booklets. We had HIV and AIDS in 1979. I believe that is a correct statement. Is that a correct statement? That in the late 1970s, something began enveloping the people of Africa, and something began enveloping the white promiscuous homosexuals of New York at the same time. An earthquake with two epicenters. Well, what is the answer for that? The answer for that is that if you have an earthquake that has two epicenters, you have someone behind the curtain manipulating something. And how do we know that? We know that because there is a blueprint. It is a blueprint. The blueprint for HIV and AIDS. It is the 1971 research logic of the U.S. Special Virus Program. Here is the blueprint. And the reason why this document is so significant, because it shows the mindset of my government to design, produce, and proliferate a special virus, a virus that only targets certain persons, as is evidenced by the epidemiology. The U.S. special virus is the U.S. HIV program. The reason why we had two earthquakes or two epicenters at the same time was because here's the final phase, the clinical trials. It was placed in the smallpox vaccines that went to Africa. Thus, as smallpox ended, HIV and AIDS began. Every epidemiology that we have regarding the beginning of HIV and AIDS shows that as smallpox ended, HIV and AIDS began en masse in Africa. And that defies the fact that one African and one monkey and one African and one monkey in that syndrome. HIV and AIDS began en masse in the late 1970s as a result of the U.S. Special Virus Program and the complementation of that vaccine with this special virus that shows the development of HIV over a period from 1962 to 1978. These 15, there are 15 of these progress reports of the U.S. Special Virus Program. These progress reports need to be reviewed by the best and the finest medical doctors and scientists in the world. We demand it. We demand it. How dare you have a federal virus development program that precedes the greatest onslaught of murder in the history of the world, and you don't want to acknowledge the program, and you certainly don't want to review it. The people demand it. We demand a review of the U.S. Special Virus Program, and I'll address any question on this issue, and we will debate any person in this country or around the world on this issue. This federal program lies at the heart of HIV and AIDS. It needs to be reviewed. I hope you join me in that acknowledgement. Thank you very much. Here's our second point. If there is a cure for AIDS that has been patented by the United States and it is still on the shelf, that cure needs to begin to be placed into clinical trials. Am I correct?
Correct.
So if the United States has already patented the cure for AIDS, then we want to get it off the shelf. Is that correct?
Yes.
The cure for AIDS is U.S. patent number 5676977. Let me say it again. That's 5676977. Go to www.uspto.gov and put that number in. I challenge anyone to do that in the next 5 minutes. Run to the library and come back here and say it doesn't exist, because it does exist. Here is your cure for AIDS that has been patented by this government in 1997. It will be 10 years that the cure for AIDS has been on the shelf. We want the clinical trials of the cure for AIDS to start today.
Is that heavy or what? I mean, how heavy is that for you, brother and sister? You know, I mean, clinically made? See, people got upset when
Obama's former pastor, the Reverend Wright, Reverend Dr. Wright, you know, was like, hey, the U.S. created this disease. They did it to black people before, Tuskegee. I mean, a lot of you may not be aware of this. I mean, I wasn't aware of this if it wasn't for a woman who did the research. None of us would know that, you know, they perfected, you know, vaginal surgery and other contraception. You know, like the Nazis on slave women while he was still, you know, no anesthetic. Okay. The pill that everyone takes for granted nowadays. The pill was perfected. They used Puerto Rican Taino women as guinea pigs. See, this is the true measure of the United States on how they treat the powerless within their confines. And all of you should be aware, because I've said this on this show many times, and I will say this until it's addressed. As far as I'm concerned, the wars between the United States and the First Nations have never ended. They can never end. And I'll tell you why. During the Frank Church Commissions, or the Frank Church, the Senator Frank Church Commission, pardon me, in the 70s, they not only found out that the intelligence service here was trying to assassinate world leaders, Dr. Castro in particular, overturning governments, I mean, subterfuge, sabotage, you know, all of the negative things that you can possibly, you know, put down on a piece of paper as to nations dealing with other nations on an international level. Total disrespect for the Cuban people, for their wishes. Just total disrespect. And part of the findings that came out during the hearings was that First Nations women were experimented on. And the experiments were basically, you know, it was twofold. See, I don't like talking about this. This is very personal for me. It was a twofold bit. They were perfecting the way they were justifying it. They were perfecting research into the C-section. This is what they were saying to themselves. This is what I've been told, because I haven't seen this documented anywhere. That this is how they were explaining some of these cases. But the bottom line was they were artificially sterilizing Native women in the United States from the 1960s. It supposedly stopped in the late 70s. Some say it hasn't stopped, that is still being done on a limited basis, and that is even being done to Mexican women through the American Health Services in Mexico. Now, when I say the American Health Services, I'm talking about the World Health Organization. And this goes back to HIV and AIDS, because many of us are of the opinion, from looking at the timeline, at least as how things were reported to us, the public, the general public, who was stuck, especially back at that time, with mainstream print, television, and radio news media. All of it corporate owned. And what it came down to was, right after the World Health Organization, the WHO, was giving out smallpox inoculations in Africa, the people started to get sick. But there's another connection. Now, while no one can prove, because of course no one put anything like that clearly on paper, well, this is what we're doing to eradicate, you know, these Negroes. No, see, what it came down to was is that we have another case. This is a serious case, super serious case, where, you know, one reporter, well, actually two reporters, someone wrote an initial article, and that was, I guess, the inspiration for another writer, a journalist, to do his research over a period of years. To, as far as I'm concerned, the scientific community can, you know, they don't really deal with actual facts. They deal with facts that they can prove, and the hell with everyone else. You know, it's all European all the time. So here it is. You have two investigators. Independent investigators. No financial stake in this. A moral stake, yes. But no financial stake. There was nothing in it for them, materially. And here it is, they did the research that we all should be doing on these subjects, inclusive of myself, and traced it to the doctor who introduced AIDS in the Belgian Congo. The Belgian Congo are the first reported incidences of the disease that we now know as acquired immune deficiency syndrome. Which I don't even know, from what I understand, if you could even call it a disease then, if it really is a syndrome. Because the syndrome supposedly implies that there's no known cause. Or there's no attributable cause. See, you know, like I said, we're going to get into this. Because, you know, there's so many questions I know that brothers have out there. And I'm saying brothers for a reason. I'm talking about my African-American brothers, my original Asiatic black men, my brothers, who are walking the streets of the United States and, you know, all throughout the townships, all throughout the provinces in the motherland in Africa, all around the world, all throughout the third and fourth world. Man. Native people are dealing with this hard. You dig what I'm saying? And I'm hearing so much confusion from the medical community, which leads to even more confusion amongst the people. You might have heard me report here, and also I've posted from the CDC, our brothers and sisters in Canada and British Columbia. The rates are skyrocketing. Same thing with Latinos, Mexicans. Well, not just Mexicans, but I mean, you know, all Latinos, man. And it's ridiculous. Black women are still at the head of the list for females, and for black men is one of the top three causes of death for black men. The African in the United States, the African male in an urban environment in the United States, has a life expectancy of 44 years. The Lakota, too, I believe, are about 44 years. 44 years. That's the life expectancy. 44 years. That's through colonial stress. That's through, you know, the pressure, man, of trying to live with some sort of grace under colonial, you know, mishigas. But let's look at the Congo for a second. Because after you hear this, everything else I'm about to say, everything else you hear will take on much more clarity.
Return to political quiet after the recent disturbances. Return to political quiet after the recent disturbances. Leopoldville engages in an all-out fight against infantile paralysis, crowding every clinic with mothers and their children. the latter to receive orally administered shots of a new vaccine against the scourge of childhood. It is a live virus preparation developed in the United States by Philadelphia's Dr. Hilary Koprowski. And it differs from our famed soft vaccine in that it does away with injections. It must taste good if the children's receptivity to it is a criterion.
Sabin and Koprowski conducted their experiments at the same time, both using a live oral polio vaccine. No AIDS cases emerged in the USSR where Sabin did his testing. But in the Congo, where Koprowski's vaccine was used, the first AIDS case surfaced 1 year after the vaccination campaigns. Was there, as Curtis suggested, something different in Koprowski's vaccine? In 1958, Albert Sabin analyzed Koprowski's vaccine, called CHAT, and found it to be unstable, contaminated by an unknown virus, which he designated Virus X. He told Koprowski about the findings and received this response. Dear Albert, I have carefully considered your extraordinary letter of November 17th, with its even more extraordinary enclosures. I cannot imagine for a moment that I would dismiss 10 years of work by another investigator with one airy wave of an intraspinal needle.
I mean, now, what do you make it at, brother and sister? What do you make it at? Now, there's much more to that. The book is called The River. Cooper, I believe, is his name. You have to check it out. You have to check it out. There's so much to this. I mean, there's plenty on Google Video, actually. I believe Yahoo is actually trying to get into the video niche. But I got to tell you something, man. When you look at that book, or you read Dr. Peter Duesberg, there's just so many folks. The Deaf Merchants, you know, I can't remember the author of that, but, I'm just, Dr. Leonard Horowitz, Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intention. I mean, you know, when you really look at this, it's like, my God, you know, it's like, what the hell? You know, how the hell can these people sit and want to get, you know, sadity with you, to dare to look at you and talk about, oh, you know, you have no right to be angry, you should, you know, just be happy that you're in the United States, and this, that, and the other. And when you point out something like this, which is a, you know, is a documented historical fact, that the United States, no different than the Nazis, who they inspired, you know, would go to these lengths. So, you know, there's not a whole lot into that. It's not mysterious. You understand what I'm saying? It's not mysterious. You know, these are old systems. These are old plots. You know, all of this has happened before. You know, none of this is new. None of this is new. Not, you know, one iota of what's going on is new. None of it is. But you would be wise to ask your questions, especially after listening to something like this. Now, I want to continue with Dr. Boyd Graves, and, I just want to go out with that, and I want you to, you know, consider what he is, you know, because he's really not suggesting as much as he's telling. You know, if you take into account, if you actually look at his evidence, and he gives you all of the research material, so it's just a matter of you taking a weekend and looking at it. I think you come to the conclusion that I've come to, that this is just another form of genocide. You know, it seems immaculate, but it's not. You know. But at this point, I want to thank you for joining your sisters and brothers across the globe that listen to Radio Inteligente Indígena, and everyone who reads the most prolific international indigenous news blog on the World Wide Web at angryindian.blogspot.com. As usual, we want to give a special thanks to our listeners and readers from Haskell Indian Nations University and all of the native students smart enough to stay in school to change the dominant paradigm. You can also find the best indigenous writers and activists such as Brenda Norell, Ridwan Laher, and myself at the Indigenous Intelligence Review, indigenous.blogspot.com. Reporting from Occupy North America to the International Aboriginal Community for Inteligente Indígena Nova Serva. This is the Angry Indian saying, if you want to get the man up off your back, all you forgot to do is stand up. Power to the people. See ya.
Este es aborigen inteligente de rato.
Finders that let us clear our mind. Let us review what is in these progress reports and then make our assumptions. Because on this issue, what you will find is that is just a subterfuge. This thing between the Gallo, the United States, and the French. You find Dr. Robert Gallo intimately familiar with the progress reports of the development of AIDS. Dr. Robert Gallo was a project director for the development of HIV and AIDS. He has been critical in the development of HIV and AIDS, not in finding out what HIV and AIDS is, in making HIV and AIDS. And so then you go to the French. Well, Dr. Graves, are the French incriminated by the progress reports? So what you're asking is, so is Dr. Montagnier, his name in these progress reports? Yes, it is. This is a concerted effort by the governments of the world under the World Health Organization to reduce the populations primarily of the third world, as is evidenced by a number of U.S. government documents, particularly National Security Study Memorandum 200 from December of 1974, that Dr. Henry Kissinger presented at the World Population Conference in Bucharest, Romania in 1974. The outline for reducing the population of the third world, because in essence, as a threat to the United States and the alien race, in essence, but also to reduce the population of the third world vis-a-vis a means other than the atomic bomb, which would also destroy the infrastructure of Africa, but in a means that destroys the people of Africa, so Africa's resources are left for the United States and intact for the United States. These are in writing. National Security Study Memorandum, NSSM 200, represents the most graphic description of the U.S.'s plan to depopulate the third world. Now, how did the homosexuals get in there? I'd be happy to answer that if that's a portion of your question.
That's part of the question.
Yes, sir. What they figured out was that in 1973, the conference was in Asilomar, California, A-S-I-L-O-M-A-R. The Asilomar conference in 1973 chose homosexuals, I don't know if they chose specifically white homosexuals, but it appears that they did, as a test group to counter the reaction from Africa that we were only doing this to their society. In NSSM 200, the African leaders balked at the fact that the United States is going to be able to do to African citizens something that it wasn't willing to do to its own white citizens here in the United States. So they specifically recruited 1,086 white homosexuals to take an experimental hepatitis B vaccine. All 1,086 men died of AIDS.
C'était Dizen, intelligent de radio.